The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast with Eddie Scally and Robbie Dowling. Brought to you by KCLR and scoreline.ie.
It's the Kilkenny Hurling Podcast brought to you by KCLR. Each week, myself, Robbie Dowling and Eddie Scally look at all the topics dominating Kilkenny hurling and hurling across the country. I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Eddie. Eddie, how are you?
I'm great, Robbie. And yourself?
Yeah, all good, all good. Obviously, just a first port of call. This is a kind of a 2 week break, I suppose, because we haven't been on for 2 weeks. We didn't have a podcast last week, and the reason for that wasn't because Kilkenny and Clare wasn't a big enough story or anything else wasn't a big enough story. I unfortunately was out sick, so completely my fault, hold my hands up, but we are back for now. I'm back with a bit of a bang because Kilkenny have advanced to the Allianz National Hurling League Division 1 semi-final with an 18-2-9 victory over Waterford on Saturday. You would have heard it live and exclusive on KCLR with David Burns and Michael Walsh on commentary duty from a very wet and a very absent Walsh Park, shall we say. Not a huge crowd at that game once more, as Eddie's been alluded to, across this year's league. But nevertheless, Kilkenny did make the last four. They will now face Limerick this Saturday at 4:30 in Super Value Parky Queeve with a full live commentary once more on KCLR from 4:30, with our build-up beginning with eight-time All-Ireland winner Aidan Fogarty prior to that game. Eddie, we'll get on to the league semi-finals, but firstly, I suppose, that win for Kilkenny against Waterford, it was a necessary win. It was a win that, of course, booked their place in the knockout stages. How do you reflect on it? I mean, the conditions were absolutely awful. They only won by 3 points in the end, but it was seemed to be a relatively comfortable three-point victory, particularly in that second half.
It was in the second half, Robbie, yeah. But it was anything but comfortable, I think, for long periods of that game. It was a pretty poor game by all accounts. Now, it can't be understated how bad the weather was. It was absolutely atrocious. There was one or two, biblical showers during the game. Like the roof you thought was nearly going to come off the stadium. It was hammering down. That doesn't make for a very good spectacle. I know some people have texted into you as well about the players coming off injured. Mikey Butler obviously coming off very early in the game as well would be a concern. I haven't heard anything out of the camp yet as to what that was. Was it precautionary? Was it just, you know, we've seen that the week before in Clare. Every time a Clare player went down, whether he was clutching for cramp or holding his foot, he got whipped straight off the field. And maybe teams are just being very cautious early in the year. I hope that is the case because obviously we can't afford to be losing any players. But I think the concession of two early goals in the game kind of set the tone a little bit. Waterford, you know, kind of that made it put a gloss on the score, if you get me, because Waterford weren't in it. Like, they got a couple of goals and then all of a shot Waterford have a lead, like, because Kilkenny got off to a very good start, and I think there were maybe 3 or 4 points up before Waterford got on the scoreboard, but the two goals put a bit of gloss to it. Waterford looked in a little bit of a better position, but this third quarter again Waterford were absolutely terrible. And Kilkenny kind of kicked on from there and got the victory out of it. I heard Derek Ling's interview after the game, and he said that this was a target early in the year, was to get to the knockout stages of the league championship. So the target has been achieved. So that in itself is a positive to take out of it. Have we learned a whole lot during the National League? I actually don't think we have.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, or what do you think?
I don't know. Like, I mean, if you look back on some of the league games, if you look back at the drawn game with Wexford, say, people were a bit annoyed. At half-time in Offaly, people were going bananas with the performance.
Yeah.
Last week against Clare, I thought it was a pretty lacklustre performance as well. The one thing that's really stunned me, and I've had a few people contact me privately, to bring it up on the podcast, and I've actually spoken to a few players as well. Kilkenny are treating the National League as a pre-season tournament. That's
pure and simple.
Yep. And they're not the only team that's doing it. There's a good few teams that are treating this as pre-season. And where you see that, Robbie, is you have to look at what type of training is going on in the Kilkenny camp at the moment. Now, I'm not there. I'm not privy to what training is going on. But I bet you the bulk of the training at the moment is strength and conditioning work. It's not ball work. And that's evident with fumbling balls, dropping balls, you know, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, to me, certain teams I would have thought used the Walsh Cup as their proper pre-season to get themselves ready. They use the league then as a very important stepping board, and then the championship will be the championship and it'll look after itself. Kilkenny, I think in the Walsh Cup they tried to find a few new players. I think in the National League they brought back in a few of the old stock and started tipping away, and then obviously started to look for a few new bodies. And I see people complaining about TJ being brought back into the fold in March. TJ needs to come back into the fold because his championship campaign with his club ended far earlier than normal. So that's why he's back in a bit earlier than normal. It's not because desperation stakes that they had to bring him back in. It's purely to get him ready for the championship. The championship's on in 5 weeks, like. So I think it's important. But I think the big question we all hope going into the National League was, would we find four or five new players? Now, four or five is a huge number of players to try and find. Yeah. Would you find one or two? I don't know if they have found them. Maybe Murphy in midfield the other day.
Shane Murphy.
I think he's been a bit of a revelation this year. So maybe he's going to be a new player coming into the fold. Luke Hogan was tidy again the other day. I just don't know. There's been a bit of a rejig. I'd be happy enough with that. I see Adrian Mullen in the forwards. You know, all season he's been playing in the forwards as opposed to playing in midfield. I think that's pretty evident that that's what they're going to be stamping the mark on for him. But it's just, I just don't know if we've learnt a huge amount. But in saying that, Derek could have had the last 8 to 10 weeks working on systems of play for certain players, trying out new positions, things like that. And maybe he's gotten what he needs out of the National League, and that's the most important thing.
Okay, just to pick up on some of those points, and we might go back around to what way the Allianz National Hurling League is perceived, not just for Kilkenny, but by all counties nowadays. But we do have somebody getting in touch with the show. Thanks very much for getting in touch with the podcast, rather. I'd like you to discuss, is Ling playing it too safe with the team getting results over starting new players? Shane Murphy, as you said, Eddie, is the only consistent new player. Where is David Fogarty of O'Loughlin Gaels, of course? Playing TJ in March is madness. We knew this year we had to find a centre-back, settle midfield pairing and one or two forwards. But against Waterford, five forwards that started played the All-Ireland. Ling needs to put his own stamp on this team. It's a worry Kilkenny are very slow to bring young players through compared to other counties. That winning under 20 team is 2 years ago. Not one is able to start yet. Drennan has struggled with form since last year. We just aren't producing forwards anymore. There's a lot in that to unpack. I suppose that for me the most important thing is the team, and the team that he's talking about there is basically a centre-back, a midfield pairing and a couple of forwards. And to add to what you said, Eddie, I think that's a fairly fair assessment. It's obviously going to be very, very difficult to find four or five players, as you said, but would it be... It has to be slightly concerning that we don't seem to be moving on in those areas that have been problematic in not just the recent past, but you know, last 3, 4, 5 years possibly.
Yeah, look, first of all, on the TJ point, I think I've kind of explained that before the question. Now I know he's a senior player in his age, but still you can't be ring rusty. If TJ only came back in now, he'd have one game maybe in a National League. He'd be only coming on as a sub maybe in a National League semi final. I'd have no issue with TJ being back. I think it's important. He'll be minded as well, and he'll be minded well, but he needs to be ready for the championship, so I've no issue there. The issues around the centre back, I don't see, everyone seems to say this, Kilkenny need to nail down the centre back position and the whole lot. I don't see that as such a major problem for Kilkenny. Richie Reid is still there, and Richie Reid is still a class player. So for me, I wouldn't be too concerned about that there.
Jackie Turrell said they need a big, strong centre-back.
Yeah,
kind of.
Everyone does. Everyone seems to be saying the same thing. Like, Mikey Carey could fit into that mould. He's probably not as big as you'd like. You know what I mean? As in height-wise, kind of with the Brian Hogan-esque thing. Richie's style of playing as a centre-back, it's kind of almost nearly like in a sweeper role. He's very good. He's like a quarterback. His distribution is brilliant. So maybe it's a position of concern. Paddy Deegan was put in there again this weekend. I'd be looking maybe play Paddy Deegan in midfield. He's savage work rate. He's like, midfield is the other area that we're having concerns with. So I'd be putting Paddy Deegan into midfield. But for somebody like Paddy Deegan, he needs to get a position and be told that that's where you're going. He's played in the forwards, the backs, you know, so you need to nail that down. For me, the other position that people are saying, they're really saying centre back, midfield, and the forwards, isn't it really?
Yeah, basically,
So centre back, for me, Richie is still there, but there's other lads can step in there. I'd say Mikey Carey is probably the best positioned now to step in at centre back. That'd be my own take on it at the moment. And then that pushes into midfield, that frees up Paddy Deegan, because we have an embarrassment of riches in the backs as it is, in my opinion. So you move Paddy Deegan maybe into midfield where he can work hard. The other issue that we have a small bit with Kilkenny is the forwards, and this is, like, I'm going to sound nearly counterproductive by making a comment like this, but you've got forwards who've got such savage work rate. They constantly end up back in our half back line. Adrian Mullen is constantly back, working back. Owen Cody, when he plays out the field like that, he's constantly back. We need these lads to stay up forward. We need them to actually push up. Like, I'd have Owen Cody in the full forward line. I've said this on numerous occasions, and I'd leave him in there. I heard the commentators the last day complaining against Clare, he wasn't getting on enough ball. Put the ball in, leave him in there. He's, you know, he's, that's where he's at, as dangerous. Mm. I don't want Owen Cody picking up the ball on the opposition 65, like, and having to work the whole length of the field. Adrian Mullen the same. I know the comments are that we haven't unearthed new players, and that's fairly well warranted too, but the likes of Adrian Mullen is going into a new position playing in the forwards this season, and that's going to be a change for Kilkenny. The other comment about Derek Ling playing it safe on the team, like, there's a balance that has to be drawn here. Like, I mean, when Kilkenny played Offaly and had a poor first half, your phone lines exploded in Casey Lower with people complaining. So you can't have it everywhere.
Fair point.
So I think Derek has to strike that balance where he's going to try out players, but at the same time make his team as competitive as they can be. Like, he didn't want to go to Waterford and lose the other day, bringing on 7 or 8 new players. But there was still 5 subs got a run. He still played 20 players down there in a match. So, to me, is he playing it safe? He's playing it safe enough. He has to, though. Like, that was potentially the last league game before the championship. If Kilkenny had lost that game, that was it. The next game is the first round of the championship. So, where would we be today if that was the case? We'd be all sitting here kind of going, oh God, we're in some trouble. Like, you know, and that's where Derek has to find that happy balance. Like, Luke Hogan started that game the other day and Shane Murphy started that game the other day. They're two new players in the panel. So, yeah. And the comments that, you know, lads will be saying about all the players that played in the All-Ireland final. Mikey Carey's only in his first season back. He missed most of last year through injury and he was away the year before travelling. So you have Mikey is back in there. Luke Hogan is 2. Shane Murphy is 3. So, you know, and Kevin Blanchfield came on after 10 minutes from... That's 4 new players. That's nearly a third of the team. I think he's playing it safe, but at the same time, he's still trying out people, I think.
But I suppose the point to pick up on then is the fact that you alluded that Kilkenny are treating this purely as a pre-season competition, which means results obviously aren't the most important thing if you treat it like that. Should they not have put performances, and not just performances, but maybe trying to unearth some individual players over the results of the collective for the league?
I don't think so. I think you give people their opportunities, which has happened throughout the Walsh Cup. And again, as I said to you, 4 new enough players playing on Saturday, that's again as a third of the team. So I agree, but there's a balance, there's a fine line that has to be met there, Robbie, as well. You know, Kilkenny can't afford to be going down and getting beaten by Waterford, you know, 4 weeks before the championship. They need to get their wins as well. The other thing as well, and no one seems to comment on this, but, and this is being straight, you look at the Kilkenny team that started the other day. Mikey Butler is 1, Hugh Lawler is 2, off the top of my head now, so Hugh Lawler is 2, John Donnelly is 3, Luke Hogan is 4, that I can think of straight away, that's 4, and TJ just came back in as 5. So that's 5 players of that team that have only been back in with the panel probably 4 weeks.
Paddy Deegan probably.
Paddy Deegan is 6, sorry, I couldn't even see Paddy on my team sheet there. Yeah, 6. And that's just from this weekend's game. So all of them all came back from long club seasons. John Donnelly, Mikey Butler, like John Donnelly, Wally Welch as well. I know Wally's carrying an injury at the moment, but all these lads were all winning All-Irelands and getting to All-Ireland finals with their clubs. So they're only just back in. So he has to, like, in fairness to Derek, he has to give these lads a run as well. Like, they have to get up the pace too. Like, so it's not simple. To try and find that balance. Would I like to see 2 or 3 more new players stepping in? Of course I would have. David Fogarty is mentioned there. I think did he pick up a knock, or was it Jordan Malloy that picked up a knock?
Jordan Malloy picked up a knock playing for Kilkenny.
Yeah, Jordan Malloy's picked up a knock playing for Kilkenny, so I think that's what put pave to him. I don't know what the story is with David Fogarty. Did he get any runs?
No.
None at all?
No. No, he definitely did not start a game.
Okay, so that's interesting because
on the bench for a few of them.
Yeah, he had such a brilliant league campaign. You would have loved to see him getting a run out, but I don't know. But again, in training, you know, Derek's going to pick his team based on training performances and whatnot. And,
yeah, of course.
So we're not there, so we don't know that. But the subs that came on the other day, Kevin Blanchard mentioned him. Porrick Moylan, he's very good. He's had a couple of runarounds. He's going to be thereabouts. Timmy Clifford, I think he's an exceptional player, to be honest. And Billy Ryan come on as well. So, like, their players... Look, are Kilkenny in a better place than they were this time last year? I don't know. We'll know that next weekend, because this time last year, Limerick absolutely put them to the sword in the league final. So it'll be interesting to see if the gap is closing a small bit, because Limerick will put out an experimental side against Kilkenny, but there'll be no inch given either.
Yeah, that's probably the next natural place to go then. It's this Saturday at 4:30 for people that are going to it or listening in on the radio in Super Valley Park, Ecuive. Limerick against Kilkenny in the league semi-final. How do you see it going would be a pretty basic question. What do Kilkenny need to get out of this game?
Well, I would have took great comfort in watching Galway against Limerick the other day. Like, because I know it's going to sound silly, but I always felt that if you were going to beat Limerick, it was going to have to come down to kind of work rate, move the ball, avoid their half back line at all costs. You know, you don't want to be putting balls down on them. So by the nature of that, you draw them, you hit short puck out, bring them onto you, invite that pressure on, and then break, try and break the tackles, push out, try and find space inside in the full forward line and try and exploit it. But when I watched Galway and Limerick at the weekend, now maybe the conditions were brutal up there as well. Pearse Stadium as well, I have to say, it must be the most miserable venue in the world. I have never ever seen a match in Pearse Stadium on a sunny day. Like, it just seems to be always bloody well raining up there.
Yeah.
They have a massive Supermax truck at the back of one of the goals as well, if you're ever up in Pearse Stadium.
Yeah,
one of the best Supermax in Ireland now. It's a proper... I'd be driving up to Galway now, and halfway I'd start thinking about the Supermax. I'd be getting a half time of the match.
Everybody else thinking about the hurling.
A very important to point out, Carlo were up there this year, so any of our Carlo listeners.
Oh yes.
So you get look forward to the Supermax at half time. You need to send one of the kids down 5 minutes before half time to bait the queue. It's all tactics.
Oh,
but no,
God.
It's a horrible it's not a horrible venue, it's a nice venue, but it always seems to be horrible weather.
Yeah.
But what Galway done against Limerick was there was just this mad aggression. Like, they literally went out and just went and pulled and dragged and fought, and it was just really big hits everywhere around the field. There was battles. It was nearly played, even though the hurling wasn't a championship level, the intensity was a championship level. And I actually think Limerick got a little bit rattled. They got a red card. Galway were probably looking now to finish the game with 15 men too. Like, Galway, I know Henry was complaining about referees.
Serious strikes in that game.
Oh, do you know what though? Like, at the end of the day, it's all about winning. Like, who cares how you won? Like, I thought last year's All-Ireland final was a brilliant game, but I didn't like the result. I would have took a 11 points to 10 win for Kilkenny over the great game I got to see. But Galway went and buried them. And I actually think what I'd love Kilkenny to do on Saturday, stack the half-back line with big men, stack the midfield with two big men, stack the half-forward line with big men, and make that middle third of the field a complete and utter war zone. If it drops on the ground, they're pulled, and just literally open their faces, drive it at them, and let's see if there's a little bit of a tail on that Limerick side. I know they're experimenting with some young players and the whole lot. Let's see how they're going to face up to, and I'm not on about dirt now, I'm on about just big physicality, big hits, the likes of Paddy Deegan coming in. If it's there, nail it, and let's see if Limerick are going to be able to do that, because what's happened, in my opinion, in the last encounters between Limerick and Kilkenny is Kilkenny have tried to beat Limerick with pure hurling, and that's not working.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. What do you make of the argument that you won't beat Limerick twice in a year, so there's no point in beating Limerick this Saturday?
Well, I think that's a load of balls anyway.
Yeah,
I
always thought that was.
I think the way it needs to start is you need to beat Limerick once. When was the last time Kilkenny beat Limerick?
2019 in championship anyway.
But you take last year's league match. Like, I've often heard you won't beat the favourites in a replay, which is generally the case if you get one shot at it. But that's. Who get more out of the win at the weekend? I'm telling you now, if Kilkenny beat Limerick in this league semi-final, which I don't think they will, but if they do beat Limerick in it, there's two big things going to happen. One, Kilkenny are going to start believing in themselves.
Yeah.
And that's a massive thing.
Yeah.
And number two is, and I don't know if it will happen, but Limerick might start doubting themselves. And I don't think... Limerick are...
Not sure about that.
But they're not arrogant. Limerick aren't arrogant, but I'm telling you, I often say, when you go out and play a team in a match and you beat them by 17 or 18 points, there's no turning that around. You know, you're not going to beat them 3 weeks later by a point or two. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, for me, I think who'd stand to get more out of this game by winning it? Kilkenny would. Limerick have to win. I think did they win the league last year? Did they win it the year before? Did Waterford win it the year before?
No, I think Limerick won it the year before as well.
Did they?
No, it was Waterford. They beat Cork in Turles.
Yeah. So I think Limerick have probably won three of the last five leagues or four
Something
of the last
like
five
that,
leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
No, Waterford definitely won it 2 years ago.
Liam Cahill finished.
But I just think Kilkenny will get a lot out of this game if it's a big if, but I'd love to see a couple of battles and let's maybe find out ways to beat Limerick. Like, don't go out and just try the same thing over and over again. Try something different, try something new. And for me, massive physicality might be the answer.
Would you be worried at all? I agree with you completely. I think Kilkenny have a lot more to gain by winning this game than Limerick do, but they also have a lot more to lose if it goes south quickly in this game, because there is a bit of scar in there from last year, whether we like it or not. There were two fairly comprehensive victories for Limerick at the end of the day in the league final and then in the All-Ireland final eventually. Would you be worried at all that if it was another result and performance like that where eventually it becomes a 2-3-4 score game, whatever it is, towards the end, that Kilkenny will be going into Championship, and if they are to meet Limerick, they'll kind of be sitting there thinking, you know, we haven't even got closer to a team that's a fair stretch away from us.
Yeah, do you know what? I think subconsciously there is a risk that that could happen too if Limerick were to get a run on Kilkenny. I think, for me, I said to you before, you want to be getting Limerick in semi-finals. We'll get to test that now.
Yeah.
So that's number one. But you are right. And the lads won't say it. But again, it comes back to this. If Kilkenny beat Limerick next Saturday, but then you're in the dressing room as a Kilkenny player and you're thinking to yourself, we're at 65% now. No, Limerick are probably at 65% too, but we beat them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
We've a load of work still to do. It just gives everything a lift. Winning gives everything a lift. Kilkenny have nearly just fell into a league semi-final.
They did. Yeah, they kind of crawled there, yeah.
The game against Clare, the defeat in Clare was poor. The win in Cork, I still don't know how they did that. The game against Waterford this weekend wasn't brilliant. The Offaly performance was extremely poor in the first half. And the Wexford game, the drawing game, I think it was a good spectacle as a hurling match.
It's all been a bit patchy, hasn't it?
Patchy's not... I think Kilkenny are genuinely in pre-season mode and that's pretty evident in the performances. That's my own thoughts, Rob.
Just on Limerick, on this, because we're talking about Kilkenny needing to unearth new players. You'd argue that the one team that doesn't is Limerick. I was just looking through their team there this weekend. Some names maybe that haven't popped up in terms of starting 15 over the last kind of 3-5 years that Limerick have been dominant. Fergal O'Connor at cornerback. Colin O'Neill, I know he's been around now in fairness, but he was there named at number 5. Colin Coughlin was at number 7. Barry Murphy from Doon was in midfield. Obviously they have that famous midfield of David Reedy and Darrell Donovan, so Murphy getting a chance in there. Shane O'Brien at right half forward for Limerick, and then the other one was the corner forward, Adam English. Would you be concerned at all that Limerick don't need players, but if they are eventually required, that they've been given opportunity, whereas Kilkenny, we know that they need something new and that they haven't, there's no new players coming for Kilkenny, so that the gap could potentially be widening if this does work out for Limerick.
Well, look, Robbie, to be fair, like, Luke Hogan is a new player that's after coming in for Kilkenny this year. Just off last week's game now. Luke Hogan is a new player that's after coming in for Kilkenny. Shane Murphy's a new player that's after coming in for Kilkenny. Kevin Blanchfield's a new player that's after coming in for Kilkenny. And all playing very, very well. Moylan's probably been in around the panel before, but he's going very well, I think, this year. Billy Drennan, Billy's only in his second year there. So I think it's a mute enough argument. The Limerick lads, there's a lot of them lads have been around that panel for a while. Colin O'Neill started the league final last year. He would have replaced Declan Hannan, I think, a good bit at centre back.
Yes, he was kind of replacement, wasn't he? Or Donovan went in there sometimes.
But then you look at their full forward line, did Aaron Gillan and Seamus Flanagan starting, both of them playing the All Ireland final, Keen Lynch playing at centre forward, he missed all of last season, he's their main man. They're stacked with players. You're dead right, they're unearthing a few new bodies and the whole lot, but let's see how they go against a team like Kilkenny. Like, they didn't beat Galway at the weekend with these new players coming in. And Galway, it has to be said, Galway are after throwing out a heap of new players as well.
I think four new backs or something.
Without knowing them too well, Jack Grealish, Fintan Burke, Porrick Mannion, I know all their names. Adrian Toohey, Keane Fatty, Ronan Glennon, not sure of two of them. David Burke was midfield with Sean Lennon, Gavin Lee, Tom Monaghan, Joe Cooney, Cahill Mannion, Connor Cooney and Evan Nyland. They're a strong team out as well. And I think Galway needed that result. They were just unlucky. If Galway had won that game, Galway would be in the league semi-final now, and I think Tip would be gone. Yes. It was very tight.
Yeah, it was something like that, wasn't it?
I can't remember if it comes down. If it went down to
Galway would have had the scoring difference. They would have got through. I think three teams would have been on 8 points.
And Galway would have had the best
Limerick would have been there. And yeah, Galway would. Because Tip barely bet Westmeath.
There you are.
I think that was it.
You know, so look, you know, it is worrying. It is worrying because Limerick looks so good and the new players coming in look so good as well. But just remember, Robbie, 10 years ago when Kilkenny were awesome and dominant, they were unearthing one or two players every year as well. I remember Wally Welsh making a debut in an All-Ireland final. Lads like that, you know. But what was happening was you're training with the best bunch of players. You're getting, you know, so you're actually at that level anyway. The minute you're getting your run, there's probably 6 months of work gone into half these lads already. So it'd be interesting to see. Again, I'd say Henry Shefflin looked at that team and said, they're young, let's get in there and bully them and see how they stand up to it. They got a draw against Galway, who wouldn't be famed for being aggressive. Let's call a spade, they're the Harlem Globetrotters of hurling. Do you know, Galway normally beat you with style, like they won't beat you with hurls. And I think that was a different side to Galway. Henry's obviously been working on that because they've decided they're going to be playing on the edge. They got three red cards, I think, the week before. There was a heap of red cards
against
Dublin. Now I know that both rep managers came out and said the refereeing was a little bit pedantic maybe, but at the end of the day, I think, I can't remember, but it was nearly six red cards in the game or something. Like, it was, it must have been just all out warfare. Like
something like that, yeah.
So I think Galway are bringing that, and I'd be interested. If I was Derek Ling, I'd be targeting all these young players that are all starting for Limerick and saying, right, let's go out here and absolutely bulldoze these lads out of the way.
Just one question before I ask you how you see the Limerick and Kilkenny game going. There's great parallels drawn between the great Kilkenny team in the 2000s that won 4 in a row and this Limerick team that obviously have won 4 in a row and 5 of the last 6 All-Ireland titles. Kilkenny, and I don't like to compare Kilkenny with Tip, but Kilkenny are nearly like Tipperary from that era in the sense that Tip were the team coming and it was a question of if anybody's going to stop Kilkenny, it's going to be Tip. Eventually they did, unfortunately, in 2010. But you could see in 2009 that they had got a lot closer in that year and were unfortunate, arguably, to lose that All-Ireland final. Is it important for Kilkenny that they put in a performance this Sunday that is very close to Limerick, even if it's a defeat, or obviously try and overcome them, so that they lay something in place for later on in the year if they are to meet Limerick to actually stop them?
Look, you'd love them to beat Limerick at the weekend, and you'd love them, if they don't beat Limerick at the weekend, to get very close because they'll have something to draw on. But I think, like last year, 2 years ago, Kilkenny got beaten by a point in the All-Ireland final.
Two points. Yeah.
And then last year they got beaten by 4 points, 5 points.
No, it wasn't in. It was.
I can't remember.
Yeah,
it was 4 or 5 points, but it was an extremely tight game. Like Kilkenny were well in front, you know, in going into the second half. There was, you know, there was a small time there in the game. I thought Kilkenny were going to win.
Yeah, Paddy Deegan hit the net, I suppose. Yeah. People thought.
Well, there was just a chance, you know. So, like Kilkenny, 6 points in hurling is nothing. Do you know, now, genuinely, 6 points is nothing in hurling. And I think Kilkenny will feel they're getting close. But unfortunately, until you see it on the scoreboard, you're not going to know that. So, will it be a close game at the weekend? Everything about Kilkenny's league form this year tells you it won't be a close game at the weekend, that Limerick are going to beat them and beat them comfortably. But the only thing I would say is it's a league semi-final. The lads will be well up for this. They'll be giving it a proper rattle. They'll have improved 5% on last week and they'll be looking for that 5% every week for improvement. Like Kilkenny's performance against Waterford yesterday versus Kilkenny's performance in the first half against Offaly 3-4 weeks ago, there's about 20% of an improvement there, in my opinion. So I don't know. And then the other thing as well is if you're going to use a barometer of Waterford, Wexford went down to Waterford last week and absolutely pummeled them. And Wexford got destroyed by Cork yesterday, on Sunday. So Saturday, Wexford got a real good hiding by Cork. Yeah. So I don't know where that whole group is, the whole Division 1B, if you know what I mean. I don't know where, or 1A, I should say. I don't know. Was the Tip and Galway, we said earlier in the podcast that the other group had a much handier ones and the whole lot, but battle hardened, would you prefer to have played Limerick and Tip by now?
Games, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, as opposed to doing what happened, struggling against Offaly, playing against, you know, an average Wexford team, a very poor Dublin team, and then you know we didn't play Dublin obviously, but in that group you have Waterford, who were shocking this year, Offaly, Wexford, and then you've had two tough games, Cork and Clare. But would you prefer to be playing Limerick and Tip? That's the question I'm asking. I think it'll be interesting to see where Kilkenny are next week, because you'll know where they are after this game.
Just then, very quickly, who's winning on Saturday?
I predict Kilkenny to win every week. I think
you did say Limerick would win the league at the start of the year. So.
And I still think Limerick will win the league. I think Limerick will.
There you go.
No, but I genuinely do think Limerick will win at the weekend. I also did go on the radio with you on Friday and predict that Longford beat Carlow in a tight enough game and that Kildare beat Carlow in Ireland.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough now.
I don't think that football game was too tight now, but we won.
That wasn't too bad.
A lot of disgruntled Carlow football fans.
Is there? Yeah. I thought the hurling game, I kind of felt
Brian. Hurling game was good, yeah.
Yeah, well, Brian Dowling needed a bit of a bounce. He deserved a bit of luck there as well with Kildare. Carlow already in their league final as well already, so it's good. And I don't know what the GAA are going to do, Robbie, because look, the league semi-finals are next weekend. You've Tip against Clare and Limerick against Kilkenny. I think Clare will beat Tip. And I think Limerick will beat Kilkenny and you'll have a Clare-Limerick league final. That's how I see it. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love to see a Kilkenny-Tip or Clare final.
Some game, though, Limerick-Clare in league final.
That's where I'd see it going. I think the National League, the GAA are going to really have to come up with a new plan for the National League because I know next year now you're going to have Division 1A is going to be really strong and there's going to be lots of good games in it. But if teams are treating it like pre-season, it's a waste of time.
Yeah, sure. We'll get on to that then, actually. I was going to ask you about Tip and Clare, but you're going for a Clare win there. The National League as a whole, because we're into the knockout stages now, the games probably take on a little bit more significance and we can enjoy it from here on in the remaining three games in the top tier and the finals, of course, one of which will involve Carlow in Division 2A. But the National League as a whole, now that we're done the group stages and we're through them, like, has it... We talk about teams going backwards. Has the competition gone backwards?
I think, like, everything. I think our expectations have increased as people. We seem to be demanding more and wanting more, I think, in general, in life, in every sense. Because I was only thinking about this at the weekend. Like, the Irish rugby team beat Scotland at the weekend. And I was so underwhelmed. No, genuinely. I was so underwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
And then I seen 50,000 people staying in the Aviva singing Zombie. And I was thinking, Jesus Christ almighty, you know. Yeah. But then when I thought about it, like, in fairness, they did win the Six Nations.
No, they did.
This is something that we were starved of 10 years ago or 11 years ago. Winning championships wasn't a big deal. So if you're some of the rugger bugger fans or the big, big guys that love their rugby, that was a massive event. Whereas if you're me sitting watching it on telly, you're thinking, Scotland are pretty average and yeah, we're really struggling against them. So, but then in my head, I think the Six Nations has gone backwards. But it hasn't gone backwards. What's happened is my expectations has increased. The same with hurling. Lads are saying hurling's not as good as it used to be. Hurling's every bit as good as it always was. The only problem is our expectations. And plus we look back on things with nostalgia and say, this was great and that was great. However, when you've 3,000 people turning up for National League matches, you have a major problem. When you have 3,000 people turning up to see Wexford playing against Waterford in Walsh Park in a National League game with something to play for, you have a major issue. Cork rolled into Wexford the other day. I seen the pictures from the stadium. It was empty. This is massively worrying for the GAA. Now, Páirc Uí at the weekend. Do you think there'll be 20,000 people at that match?
No chance.
But why didn't they have a doubleheader? Why didn't they have the two games on the same day? Make it a doubleheader. Make it a proper day out for everybody.
Television, I'd say.
But this is the thing. Like, we're doing everything to make it comfortable to sit at home and watch things on telly. You know, That should have been a doubleheader. The two games should have been definitely a doubleheader. The league final should definitely be played in Croke Park. And that should be the carrot on the end of the stick for any team to get a run out in Croke Park and, you know, even play the two league semi-finals in Croke Park. You know, I don't know what the GAA are going to do, but you get 3,000, 4,000 people turning up to Division 1 league games, the spectacle's in big, big trouble. And I think the National League, as it stands now, is getting towards Walsh Cup standards. That's where it is.
Really? That far?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I definitely do. I think from here on in, you might see a bit more bite to it. But
We've had some decent games, though, in terms of, like, you know, you're talking about Galway-Limerick at the weekend.
You're at the tail end of it now. But look at the other games, like Galway...
Kilkenny-Cork was okay.
Look, I'm not... Don't get me wrong. They're okay games. They're grand. I'm just saying, there's no team that started off in the dressing room this year and a manager punched the wall and said, I want this National League title. Yeah. There's only two major national titles in hurling: the National League and the football, or the National League and the Lee McCarthy, the hurling and the championship. You know what I mean? So you've got league and championship. They're the only two things you can win. So I actually think everybody should be trying to win the National League, and I don't think that's the case. Do you?
Well, I don't know. I understand what your point is, but I don't know if it's changed too much. And I can only speak for myself. I obviously love hurling throughout the years. I could list off right now, if you wanted me to, and don't ask me to, every single All-Ireland winner this century. Probably couldn't tell you. I mean, I mixed up there when Waterford won the league. I probably couldn't tell you the last five league winners. I just wonder, and that's not just, I'm obviously only a supporter, but I just wonder if the players and everybody involved has always thought that way, that the league at the end of the day is just the league. Liam Cahill won a league with Waterford. Now, you talk about Waterford not winning things. They're starved of winning things. He was out the gate fairly soon afterwards. You know, it's just, it never has been the be-all, end-all, I wonder.
No, it doesn't have to be the be-all and end-all, but it does have to be. As I said to you before, and I know people rang in and texted in to complain about me about it as well, I said there's only a couple of teams can win the All-Ireland. I didn't say there's only a couple of teams want to win the All-Ireland. Yeah, I said there's only a couple of teams that can conceivably win the All-Ireland. I think outside the top four, you know, you really are. And now, I personally think it's Limerick, Kilkenny, Galway, Tip, Clare, that five. One of them five is going to win the All-Ireland. You could squeeze in Cork maybe, right? But if a team targeted the National League, Wexford could have won the National League this year if they really, really went for it. They could have. And why didn't they? Now, I think Wexford did. That'll be another one that'll get me a kick in the arse. I think Wexford did actually target the National League. I think Keith's delighted now he's got Division 1A status for Wexford next year, and it's a great stepping block. But when Davy Fitz had his first year in charge of Wexford, I think from memory, I think they got to the league semi-finals that year. They possibly won the Welsh Cup, I don't know, I can't remember, but they definitely got to the league semi-final and targeted that, do you know what I mean? To get a bit of pump and get the whole county behind you. I just don't feel, I think even the likes of your Offaly's, your Westmead's, your Dublin's, like Dublin genuinely used the whole National League as a, like they went out and pummeled Westmead at the weekend. They've used the whole National League for blood and players. I'd be very interested to see what happens to Dublin in the Championship. I was writing them off. Me all don't know who's cute whore here now. I think Dublin could have something to say in the Championship this year. They won't win Leinster right now, but just don't get me wrong, Wexford will struggle against them. Kilkenny and Galway will both be getting tough games against Dublin. He's used the National League to blood players. So, no, I just think, for me, pre-season competition, don't want to talk about the league anymore.
It's interesting. Just on one point on it, and would you believe him, after losing the article, Owen Murphy said something around this, basically that the gap, he likes the split season, but that the gap between the league and the start of the Championship is too short, and that's what's diluted the league.
Probably right, 5 weeks, isn't it? Well, actually, it's less, it's 3 weeks if you get the league final.
Yeah, yeah.
And he reckons that if the gap was a bit wider, it'd be. Yeah, I can see
the
point.
He brought up your point that the training right now, not for him as a goalkeeper, he said, but for the outfield players, is so intense that it's very difficult to put that intensity into matches and then just to keep turning this out all the time and to be in proper shape come Championship.
Yeah, and see, this is a big problem because I spoke to Mickey Welch about this a few weeks back as well. If you're doing heavy lifting and training at the moment and it's all S&C work and it's really getting the bodies, the lads are wrecked at the weekends.
Yeah.
So what's happening is you're running out of gas. So I don't know. The split season's going to take a few years to pitter itself out. The county that's handled the split season the best so far is Limerick.
Of course.
But I think Kilkenny as well, creators of their own downfall in some way. The club hurling season in Kilkenny is so good that you end up with all these clubs all going through to Leinster titles, All-Ireland semi-finals, All-Ireland finals, and that causes its own headaches as well. So I don't know. Kilkenny is the best club championship in the country, in my opinion. It's the most exciting club championship in the country. And it just means Kilkenny players are on the go 12 months of the year.
Does actually, I know, it's a very fair point. Just one final word on the league, and it's a little bit different, I suppose. Next year's league table, I know you wanted to touch on it, Eddie, but basically it's Wexford, Cork, Kilkenny, Clare, Tipperary, Limerick, Galway that'll make up the top tier.
Yeah, that's going to be Savage League. Do you know, like, I haven't seen what way it works with relegation and promotion, but I would love to see a situation where last place is relegated and top of the other one is promoted, but that second from bottom plays second in the other league for a promotion playoff kind of thing, where you'd have a proper game with something to really play for. That'll bring everybody on a ton in that group. Genuinely, it will bring them all on a ton. Like, I mean, Wexford are going to be delighted with that. They're going to be playing against the best teams they could play against. Whereas then, if you look on the flip side of that, Waterford are after dropping down to the division below, and they're going to be, I would say there's quite a number of games in there that'll be cannon fodder for Waterford, and then they'll step up to the proper Championship and they could be in big trouble. But I think Waterford are in the division, deserve to be in the lower division, because they're after slipping out of that top six, seven counties, six, eight counties even. They've slipped down there. I seen a fella at the weekend saying that he thought Kerry should be putting the Munster Championship and Waterford should be putting the Joe Mack.
Sure, that brings us on nicely to the next point, I suppose, then, that you wanted to touch on again. Eddie basically organised this whole podcast.
Just basically hang me up to dry all the time.
Here's some things, bring it up, Rob. Davy Fitzgerald at Waterford. 3 wins in the National League, you were telling me. Laois, Antrim last year, Offaly this year. 1 win in Championship, albeit he's only had 1 Championship campaign. A meaningless game for Waterford against Cork. This isn't going too well.
Well, that's the biggest understatement in the history of sport. Just for context, people would say, oh, Davy this, Davy that, and he done this and he done that. He took over Waterford, who were the National League champions when he took them over. And
we're given a scalding in Munster now, just for in fairness.
So Cal was gone and the whole lot, and Davy had said about their fitness levels and the whole lot. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating. So he's played 2 National League campaigns now as Waterford manager. He's had wins against Laois and Antrim last year and Offaly this year. That's it.
Yeah.
And in the Championship, where it does matter, they won 1 match after they were already gone out of the Championship, and they had literally no pressure on them whatsoever to go out and hurl and to go and beat Cork. If this was the Premiership, Davy would be gone. He wouldn't be there for the Championship. It's not the Premiership, it's inter-county hurling, it's an amateur organisation, it's an amateur sport. I'm not calling for his head in any way, shape or form. But this man has said 2 or 3 times, we'll be ready in 5 weeks, we've a load of players coming back, and we've this, that and the other and all that. I think he's bluffing. I think they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he is bluffing, he's finished.
Well, what players has he got to come back? I know Waterford are missing a few players, but like, this is the thing, where are they going to get match practice between now and the first round of the Championship? Like, the Championship is on in 4 weeks time, and I'm a big fan of Davy Fitz. I really am. I think he's an excellent manager. I think he gets exceptional results with teams. He's proven it. But I actually, there's an old rule I have, is you never go back. I think the appointment of Davy into Waterford was a strange appointment. And I mean this, I was really surprised he got appointed to Waterford. I was really surprised he took on the role himself. And I can tell you something for nothing. They're in big trouble. I listened to the game the other day. I listened to WLR for the commentary on that. And I know, yeah. I explain the reasons for that. But the lads on WLR, they were so easy on the Waterford players, and they were so easy on Davy. It was actually, I was very surprised, because they wouldn't get that free ride in Kilkenny.
No.
I'm hearing the rumblings now, and I seen it the other day, someone saying it's time to get a Waterford man in to manage that team, and we'll play hurling the way Waterford play hurling, you know. So when you start hearing that shite, you know you're in trouble.
They had Pádraig Fanning. I just want
he
to go
didn't
back
last too long
no
either,
he lasted
man.
A year. I want to go back to kind of a broader discussion, or not go back, but move forward to a broader discussion around Waterford before we bring it back to Davy Fitzgerald, because Waterford really intrigued me, not just this year but recently. Waterford, I would always sort of draw parallels with Wexford in terms of maybe not overly successful, and I'm not going to poke fun at either county, even though they are neighbours, for that. But the passion, the support, supporters, the fan base, everything about it is kind of unique in itself, or certainly just on a par with Wexford, I would have said. That has evaporated. It feels like overnight, but Michael Walsh said to me a couple of weeks ago, and I thought it was a good point, it's probably more prevalent now because Davy Fitz is there and he is box office, whether you like him or not. But that the negativity has been there for 3 or 4 years now. Do you think that's the case? And if so, did it start once Derek McGrath left the fold? Because even though he didn't win in All-Ireland, he was loved by the Waterford supporters.
Now, first and foremost, and I'm going to be straight with this, there is no comparison in Wexford supporters and Waterford supporters. Wexford supporters are miles ahead of that.
Do you think so?
100%.
I think Waterford under there are very good.
No. Look, under there it might be. Wexford every day. Wexford are different. You've seen the rollout of punches that come into me there when I made one comment about an invasion of a pitch, which I stand by. However, the Wexford supporters, they're unique. They're like no other. Okay. They're unbelievable. It's like someone telling me the Limerick supporters are unbelievable. They are now.
No, that's rubbish. That's rubbish. But I think Waterford have been starved of success and have turned.
No, they did. They latched onto it. What I would say to you about the Derek McGrath era. Derek McGrath was loved in Waterford, and I think one of the main reasons he was loved in Waterford was his backroom team were predominantly, I think, if not all, Waterford based men.
More or less.
you know, he had Dan the Man there with him. Dan is a really likeable character too. Everyone seems to like Dan. I seen him at the races in Gorn a couple of weeks ago and everybody getting pictures with him and stuff as well. He's genuine, he's just a nice fella.
He's a character, isn't he? Yeah.
He's great for the game. Derek himself is great for the game. Derek brought such passion and everything to it. And you knew in his interviews after the game, like when Waterford would lose, your heart would break watching him being interviewed as well. Like, he just, I think he had a connection to the stands.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about
it. And that was going to be a hard act to follow. Liam Cahill came in. That connection's not there. I don't mean that now.
And he had COVID as well.
But what I mean is it's regardless, if Brian Cody had went in, he'd be still the greatest manager of all time, but he wouldn't have that connection to the Waterford fans. He's not a Waterford native, he's not one of them, you know, and when they're talking they're one of our people and the whole lot. So I think that disconnect is there. The fact that they went back to Davy Fitz, I think there was rumblings in Waterford, they were a bit annoyed that that was the route they went back. Like, Derek McGrath didn't get fired by Waterford GAA. Derek McGrath stepped down.
That was probably natural.
And he'd been there for a long time as well now, in fairness.
That's what I mean.
So, you know, it's very hard, it really is, and it's very hard on Davy Fitz because he's so passionate too, and you know, he's mad for road here. Now, the only thing I will say to you is Davy will be loving the negativity around Waterford at the moment because he can bring them into the little bomb shelter now and say everyone outside that is throwing the rocks at us now. Now it's just us, it's the siege mentality. We have to go out here and go to war for each other, not for Johnny down the road and not for Mary whose church got burnt down by the evil Kilkenny people, not them. No, it's everybody inside these four walls. This is who we're going to bat for and we're going to war for. So I'd be cautious that there's a potential sting in the tail, but from what I've seen from Waterford this year, I can't see where it's going to come from, and I think they're in serious trouble.
It really does interest me. Just on it, I suppose, for Waterford now going forward, it's all about the Munster Championship. I've always said, and I've stated, that Fitzgerald always gets something out of his team at some stage. If he doesn't, and I know this is leaning on the negative side of things, if Waterford season peters out and they go into Munster, and they are, you know, placed fifth amongst most people to finish bottom of the table, if they do that, and if it kind of, it's one win or it's two draws or whatever it might be, and they don't get out of Munster, is it the end of Davy Fitz at Waterford? You would say the answer is yes, naturally. Is it the end of Davy Fitzgerald, the inter-county manager?
No, it'd be the end of him. I would say it'd be the end of him with Waterford if they get knocked out.
Yeah, you know, he's finished, I think.
He's still involved with his club at home. I think he's still there. He still has an awful lot to offer the game as well. I think maybe the Waterford job. Now, he could prove us all wrong and Waterford could light this up. I can't see it myself. I just can't see how he can go. I told you, there's not a magic switch. Unless Davy has found one, I don't know how he does it. So I think this, and I hate to be that negative about something, but I think this season will just peter out for Waterford and then Davy will move on. But I think you'll find Davy in a few years' time, you know, whether it's the Dublin team or I don't know, Galway or someone. I could see his name cropping up again. He's too young to be gone out again, and he's too good as well.
Fair enough. And I will point out he's still the last manager to win Munster Championship at Waterford.
Yeah, it's a long time between drinks, isn't it?
2010, I think. 14 years.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll do it again. Who knows? We'll find out. Speaking of supporters, you might pick up on this, Eddie, because I was away sick. Kilkenny fans have come in for a little bit of a betting.
Yeah, there was a podcast done 2 weeks ago, and I won't even say your man's name on the podcast, but he basically said that Kilkenny are the worst fans in Ireland, in hurling. The Kilkenny hurling fans are the worst fans in Ireland.
Okay.
And I took particular umbrage to that statement. I'm not a Kilkenny person myself, but I do live in this great county, and I would actually have thought that I don't think I've ever seen a bigger bullshit statement in all of my life than that one. And I think it was done purely for a bit of sensationalism and maybe to try and draw some people to his podcast. But what basis he has for saying the Kilkenny supporters are the worst supporters in Ireland is absolutely beyond me. I think what sickens some of these people from counties like his county is that they don't understand how educated the Kilkenny supporter is. You know, Kilkenny supporters, I would say, are the most educated hurling supporters in the country. Chatting this morning in work, and we ran about arguments, and I was saying that, you know, I'm lucky in the sense that I if I think I'm right, I'll stick to it, and if you think you're right, you'll stick to it, and we'll argue, but that's fine. And he said, one of the lads in work said to me, the only argument you cannot actually go at in Kilkenny is hurling. You have to actually stop. And there used to be, I remember a poem that used to say, you never talk about religion and politics in a pub. They actually, his point, he was saying, you'd never talk about religion, politics or hurling in a pub in Kilkenny, because the problem in Kilkenny is everyone has got deep-rooted opinions in hurling.
Yes.
And they all think they're right. To say that they're worst supporters in Ireland is a joke. I'd ask them to come up and watch a Junior B match in Kilkenny Club Hurling when there's 400 people standing around the side of a field, and I can guarantee you don't see that in his own county.
I have to play devil's advocate. I'm a Kilkenny supporter, so it's going to be difficult for me to do so, but it's the right thing to do. I don't think his argument was about the club supporters. I think, I would say, now I might be wrong because I don't have the full facts on this, I would say the club scene in Kilkenny is the best supported club scene in the country. If not, it's certainly in the top percentage. However, there is a strong argument to be made that considering we are, you know, self-proclaimed, for want of a better word, hurling country, and we are sort of the unofficial home of hurling, we're definitely the most successful county in hurling history, that you would expect bigger crowds at our two games in the Allianz National Hurling League this year that were in Nolan Park.
Yeah, look, you could say that, but there was still the Wexford game, there was 8,000 at it.
Yeah.
Right. So there was 8,000.
How many of them were Wexford?
Kilkenny's a very small population. Like, there's not, you know, Kilkenny as a county is a small populated county. Mm. And how many of them were Wexford? There was 3,000 at Wexford against Waterford. So, you know, there was 5,000 more at the Kilkenny game. They weren't all Wexford. I know people had said that. Wexford come with colour. So what happens is, every time you see Wexford play, it looks like there's more people.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the two games that were at home this year for Kilkenny were Wexford and Offaly. And I'm not being smart. Kilkenny supporters aren't going to be getting overly excited about going to see Kilkenny playing Offaly in a National League match in Nolan Park. I bet you if they were playing Tipperary.
But then the only thing I'd say to that, Eddie, and I understand what you're saying. First of all, you could argue there's an element of bandwagon in there. I'm not going to argue it myself, but you could argue it is, because you were about to say that tape, there'd be more people at that match. Secondly, a lot of people were very quick to pick up their phones and text into KCLR that day, because KCLR was the only place that you could listen to the match. They're quick to give their opinions. They're not too quick to get into Nolan Park to watch a game.
Yeah, look, that comes with, as I said to you already, with an educated viewpoint, that they will see themselves as hurling experts. Everybody in Kilkenny does. We have a podcast on it.
We do.
So that's the issue you have there. But what I would say to you is, I genuinely think next year's National League, Kilkenny will have much bigger battles in Nolan Park, and you'll have much bigger crowds come to Nolan Park to see them. The same with the Championship. The comment by that man to say that they're the worst hurling supporters in the country literally was only done with one intention in mind, and that was to draw people to listen to his podcast. It'd be like me saying something about the Wexford after a Welsh Cup match to try and draw a bit of traffic to their pots.
Oh, nice one. Just on it, because it's always come up and people text in about it, and that there has been some criticism of the support this year, that, you know, Kilkenny fans aren't travelling, they're not going to Nolan Park, whatever it might be. If there has been a small portion of Kilkenny supporters going to matches this year and they haven't made themselves heard for whatever reason, they're not coming in numbers, can that transition onto the pitch in the sense that it can be a bit difficult at times? I know people that have played have suggested that it can.
Yeah, I think sometimes when you're, like, I'll be honest with you, the crowd can drive on a team and they can lift the team and get a team going. When you're down by a point, the crowd lifts and they start cheering you on and it pushes you. That's without question, that happens. Also, when the crowd starts turning on you a little bit and the abuse starts to come from the stands and stuff like that, that can weigh on you a little bit as well. And, you know, it makes that free that little bit harder, makes that goalpost a little bit tighter. So they all do have their, you know, there's merit to them arguments as well. But I just think, I said to you before about the price wasn't a major factor in people not going to these National League games. But I actually, the more I think about it, and you take it this year in Kilkenny, Dixborough got to a Club All-Ireland final with the Camogie girls, right? They won the All-Ireland. O'Loughlin Gales got to a senior Club All-Ireland final. Thomastown got to an intermediate Club All-Ireland final and won it. And Tullaher Rossbirkin got to a junior Club All-Ireland final and won it. Look at the costs the Tullaher Rossbirkin people, the Thomastown people, the O'Loughlin Gales people and the Dixborough people had already in their season to go and support their teams. Busloads upon busloads of people travelling up the length and breadth of the country to go and support their club. So they're all hurling people and hurling fans that have absolutely spent a fortune following their club across the whole country. And you know what? They'll be a little bit burnt out as well. No more so than the players. They'll be a little bit burnt out with all that hurling. Yeah. So I'd forgive any of them counties taking a bit of a break during the start of the National League campaign when everyone can see it. It's like a pre-season. The only reason I'd see a big load of Thomastown people coming in is if the new Peter MacDonald was going to start, or you know, something like that, to go and cheer on their own at, or if Wally, well, Wally's a bit, been there a long time now, but if one of the younger players, Lara Murphy, was going to be starting for Kilkenny, I'd expect to see a big Tulliher contingent in there to cheer him on. So that's one side of it. The other side of it too is, and I've said this to you, the positioning of the games, the timing of the games. The game on Saturday in Cork, I'm not too disappointed about the timing of the game at 4 o'clock. I thought the nighttime game against Cork was a shambles now.
Yeah.
Travel down there that late at night, and 4 o'clock is a fair enough time. If you want to go down to Cork early Saturday morning, go down and do a little bit in the market there and have a bit of crack, and then go down to Páirc Uí, watch your match, you can be home in Kilkenny by 9 o'clock. Like, it's, you know, it's a family day out. It's not, and I think, you know, I'd hope Kilkenny supporters might do that, but I think there can be excuses made for Kilkenny supporters this year, and most years, with their club journeys. But, and then as well, the price of the tickets too, there's a lot more games now as well. I stupidly said that I didn't think the price was that much of an infirm factor, but it is actually.
Okay.
A little bit.
Fair enough. Two more points, Eddie. First of all, St. Kieran's College on Saturday, we may touch on it. Croke Cup champions, All-Ireland champions for the 25th time. Historic occasion in Croke Park. They defeated St. Raphael's by 26 points to 118 after extra time. A phenomenal school, generally. I went to it, lucky enough to go to it for 6 years. But on the hurling pitch, extraordinary.
Yeah, do you know what? It was a great game, Robbie. And from by all accounts, you'd done the commentary on the game on the radio. It was meant to have been absolutely brilliant. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to get it.
It was not brilliant.
Geez, a few people have said it to me. It was very good. Who was on with you?
Terence Kelly.
Lovely.
It was all thrown together last minute because I was out sick. So I had to go up and do it myself. Unfortunately, I apologise for everybody that had to listen to it, but I hope you did enjoy it.
No, by
did.
All accounts, it was very, very good. And that's being honest. I watched the game myself. A couple of things in the game for me. And this is, like, it's so hard when you're playing at the younger levels as well. It's very hard for us as pundits to be critical of a child. But you're going to do it anyway. No, but I'll tell you what it was. The big lad in midfield for St. Kieran's gave away a free just before full time.
Ed Lahoff, was it?
I think he was wearing a red helmet. Big tall.
Ed Lahoff, he had some game.
He had a great game, but he gave away that free. And, you know, I kind of looked at it and said, right, Jesus, you know, this is a really tough free. And Breed says to me, will he pop that over the bar? And I said, he would, 99 times out of 100.
Yeah,
but I said,
yeah,
this is All-Ireland final and it's the last puck of the game. So in fairness to St. Raphael's player,
Bobby Feeney,
he put it straight between the posts. But I could see the Fulton whistle went and I could see the face on that young lad that gave away that free. And my son said to me, will the manager give out to him in the dressing room now? And I said, he will not. I said, Jesus Christ, they're going into extra time. I said, that's not... I said, maybe on the way home in the bus, if they lose, they could have that one. But he came out in extra time. And I thought, you know, what a reaction himself. Because you're only a child and it can really hurt. You've given away a free... Damn it. I said it to you about Brian Hogan giving away that free against Tipperary.
Yeah,
never reacted
the
whole lot. They put it wide. But that lad came out, and in the second half, an extra time, he popped the point over the bar as well. I'm pretty sure he
got not
point.
Two. Yeah.
So in extra time. So I just thought, you know, fair juice to him. Mm. Absolutely brilliant, because that couldn't have been easy. Great weekend for Brian Dowling. And Root there that's with him as well. I think he's with him in Kildare too.
Yeah.
So wins with Kildare on Friday night and wins with his own school on Saturday. So that's a weekend that he's had that he deserves. And then the last point I'd say about St. Cairns winning, and I had this conversation with a former Kilkenny manager the other day. I met him in a shop and we had this. St. Cairns are after winning the All-Ireland. Kilkenny are after winning the junior, intermediate, and probably should have won the senior All-Ireland club titles as well. And all of these are all telling you that Kilkenny hurling is in a brilliant position. But yet we're not seeing it at the under 20, at minor and at senior. So it'll be interesting to see if these start to bear more fruit, because everything is telling me that hurling and Kilkenny's in a very good place, except for the results on the inter-county scene.
Okay, that's a really interesting point. Lastly then, I suppose, moving forward, I've forgotten my train of thought, would you believe? I was so caught up in what you were saying. I had a second question that I was delighted to ask. I can't remember. I'm leaving it at Kieran's. You happy to leave it at Kieran's?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably a natural place to finish up when you haven't got a question to follow
on with. You brought up Bobby Feeney, and that free That was one of the best frees I've ever seen.
It was because of the timing of the game.
Honest to God, the pressure on the man.
Yeah. See, this is the thing that people forget is the sheer pressure that comes with these type of things. And that's something that you or me will have never experienced. We'll never experience it now ourselves. Like, I always think in scenarios and think in different situations myself, kind of looking back on different games that I've been at and different games I've been involved in, and it's that one thing I always think. Like, I remember Desi Dolan missing a free against Meath in a Leinster Championship match. Ooh. Right in front of the post on the 21. Desi kick it over with both feet, he'd a header over and he put it wide, and it's just the goalposts get tighter. The hurl, I'd say, is about 15 stone weight trying to lift it. A great one for you, actually. I'll leave you on this one then as well. Eugene Clunan, one of the greatest hurlers of a generation, fabulous player. Done a bit of work with Greg Ballycallan, did a bit of work on them as well in the Championship many years ago with his own club at Nye. But he was chatting to us one day and he told us about the failing in Oak. You know, the American teams come across the whole lot, and there was an American team come over and stayed in Galway, but there was one of the players was telling him, one of the American players, that the kicker used to tie weights to his legs. So put on these weights on his legs, and he'd have the ball set up on both sides of the field, so he'd jog over and back with the weights on his legs and take the kick. And he said it was trying to emulate the pressure you'd be under in a high tension kick. So then Eugene, because he's a bit crazy that way, he set up a load of balls himself on the hurling pitch, and what he used to do was carry like 15-20 kg dumbbells, and he'd do runs with the dumbbells. So he'd do 5 over and backs, and then he'd drop the dumbbells and pick up his hurl and take the free. And he said his arms would feel like they were being pulled out of his sockets, the whole lot. And that's what he was doing, to try and create the same pressure that you're getting in a match like that. So that's the difference in good players and great players. They leave nothing to chance.
That's incredible. I actually remembered what I was going to say, just to finish on this then, Eddie. If Waterford, as you say, go back, and if Dublin and Wexford kind of stay where they were last year, or even go back further themselves, there's always this talk of kind of a big nine. The 5 in Munster, the 4 in Leinster are usually there, and then the 2 that come up from Leinster are kind of separate from that, which would be Antrim and Carlow this year, for example. If Waterford do go back into that pack, would you be worried at all that we're talking about less and less teams in hurling all the time, that there's going to be a top 6 and then the rest? And that could be very concerning.
Yeah, you know what? You probably are in that situation already, I think, in football.
Already?
Yeah, I think we know at the end of this Championship, in football you have your Super 8s, and it'll probably tell you, you know, that's where you are. And probably, maybe, is there an argument for a Super 8s in hurling? I don't know. If you had a Super 8s competition like they do in the football, would you end up with different All-Ireland finalists? Would you end up with way better games? I don't know. It's something that should be considered.
That's a good point.
Who'd fit into that Super 8? I'd love to see what people think themselves. But at the end of this Championship, let's have a look and say who would the Super 8 be. You know for a fact Kilkenny and Galway will be in it anyway, so that's 2 guaranteed to be in it. And then, you know, whoever finishes 3rd in Leinster, so it's either going to be Wexford or Dublin or Carlow or Antrim, so they're in. And then maybe 4 teams from Munster, that's 7, and you've 1 other team to go. So I don't know. I think we already are in that situation. I think you'd struggle to make a Super 8 like they do in football, where it's, there's not too many hammerings in the Super 8s, is there?
No, it's fairly tight at that point.
Of the Super 8s, and I mean this as well, Galway played in the football after against Dublin the other day, and I had to laugh before the game. The pundit turned around and said, your answer, this is, you know, Galway against Dublin, big clash, 2 teams that'll have aspirations to win in All-Ireland. And your man from Kerry was on pundit, and he turned around and said, hold on now, Galway, he said, they've no place talking about winning All-Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, he's straight out. And your man was like, they were beaten in the All-Ireland final 2 years ago. Nah, crazy talk, he said. Not on this form, he said. Not a chance, he said. I was like, holy Christ, does he know he's standing on the pitch in Pearce Stadium? But that's the way he's seen it. And I think he's probably right. If you look at the Super 8s in football. Yeah, if you look at the Super 8s in football, I think there's probably 3 teams could conceivably win the football title.
That's all?
Dublin, Kerry, Derry.
Not Galway?
Not a chance.
Mayo?
Not a hope.
Donegal?
I've named the 3 teams. It would be one of them 3 teams that win the All-Ireland. I absolutely guarantee you, Robbie. That's the way it is. It's like, they'll all give you games, like Tyrone or Donegal or like even Roscommon. Like, they'll give you a game. Mayo will give you a game. Don't start this whole Mayo for Sam stuff, Robbie. Mayo,
I know when you're saying they could win it.
Look here. anyone could win.
Not anyone can win.
But I'm not being smart. They won't win. This is what I'm saying to you. Of the Super Eight, there's probably three teams going to win. And I think that's what he was. It was one of the O'Shea brothers. I can't remember which one.
Mark, I'd say, if he's won the three. It could have been Tomás either.
It was Tomás O'Shea. That's exactly who it was. And I think he's probably right.
Okay, fair enough. Sure, we'll leave it on that. The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast finishing up with football talk. Thanks a million to Eddie for joining me. It's been good to be back. We'll be back next week to review Kilkenny's game with Limerick and to look ahead to hopefully what will be a league final for Kilkenny. You can subscribe to us anywhere you do your podcast listening: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can find us on scoreline.ie. And until next week, have a great week.
The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast with Eddie Scally and Robbie Dowling, brought to you by KCLR and scoreline.ie.